Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
I had a rough day, but that's life, it happens.
Oh, you damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Tuesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings, straight yelling, producing. We are just a little bit closer to football season. There's all kinds of football stories floating around. How about 18 days until Texas plays Maryland, until Alabama plays Louisville, until Auburn plays Washington? That first big Saturday of college football is that close. How you doing?
Nice. I'm doing well. Doing well. 18 Stanley Richard.
Ah, the sheriff.
Yep.
Forgot he wore 18. 18's tough. When we get down into this area, it's difficult.
It is.
Blaine Irby was 19?
19.
He would have been yesterday.
I mean, Matt Melton was 18.
18's tough. In the pros, that's Peyton Manning, right? Didn't Peyton wear 18?
Yes, he did.
18 at Indy?
Yeah, 16 at Tennessee, 18 at Indy.
Uh-huh.
Not ton. I mean, we're about to get tons of texts. That's what I love about it. People are like, you kidding me?
I know. Are you kidding me?
God, we're 18.
My favorite 18, right? We're 8 days away from getting to 10 around here, which will be easy for a couple reasons. Mr. Vince and Mr. Gardair.
Oh, tons.
All kinds of good tens.
You always miss Dee Dee Lewis.
You're right. I should mention Dee Dee.
I always mention it because it's so weird, too. That he wore 10 because he was wearing 4, too.
He looked sharp wearing 10, though.
He looked
good. Just like, wasn't that Derek Brooks at Florida State?
Oh,
rocking the 10?
That's the best 10 defensively.
It's a nice 10.
Ever.
I think you're right. Yeah, that looked awesome.
Vince could have wore 99 and it would have looked good.
that would have been really cool.
Or 68.
Can you imagine Vince getting Donovan Woods up in the air?
With 99.
Wearing 99. Like he's Dan Hampton running down the field.
It would mess with kids down the road when they see one clip and they go, was this guy a defensive lineman?
Is that Warren Sapp running down the field? No, it was Vince Young.
How bad was football back then?
It was Vince, 6'5", wearing 99.
None of these guys could have played now.
that would skew your view of football all through time. So we'll definitely talk some football today. In fact, why don't we just get into the first playing? I mean, Trey puts these things together, but today it's a special day. Today is the day when I think a lot of people might want to hear the band play. Trey, can we go Horn Top 20 here? For the people?
It's the Horns College Football Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive.
This is Carr, turns the corner, stutter step, still running, down inside the 5, and Stephen Carr is the next guy at SC, and a terrific compliment to Jones.
Number 14, the USC Trojans.
There it is. Come on now. Man. That takes me way back.
I like this part.
Oh, man.
It's a good song.
When I was little.
Not a USC guy. It's a good song, though.
There are two college football games. When I was a kid, that had nothing to do with teams I liked, that were all about the bands for me and just sounded like college football.
USC Notre Dame
and Notre Dame Michigan.
Okay, I agree with both of
those. Were the two games where I always felt like, okay, that just sounds like what a Saturday ought to sound like, and USC had a big part of that. And then when USC would play UCLA, that one, too, would get me a little bit because, you know, every time you saw a game out there, it looked so perfect. The sun was always shining. The grass seemed greener. The girls were hotter, and even hotter than the girls in Texas. The girls in Texas are incredibly hot. It just felt like there were hotter girls out in California.
It looked like they had 30-year-old actresses or playmates playing the Palm Girls.
And then the sweaters. And
no, the sweaters.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
No, what do they call those girls again? The USC?
The Palm Girls.
Palm Squad. Palm Squad, Palm Girls. The LSU girls are the Golden Girls, I think.
The hotties?
They're impressive.
Yeah, I was always, yeah.
But
I
USC,
mean, it's year in, year out.
Oh, but USC.
There's talent everywhere, Chad.
So impressive. So the USC Trojans are our number 14 team today. Obviously, it's a little more specifically special for us today, not because we necessarily care about USC, but they're right there on the Longhorn schedule in week number 3.
I have them as the number 3 program overall, historically.
So A&M, BYU.
And BYU.
So for you, hang on, let me see if I can do this. Number 3 overall after OU and somebody?
OU would be 4.
OU's 4.
I'd probably even go Alabama 1 now, Notre Dame 2.
Okay.
Depending on how you want to count in ethics and what you're really counting.
Ethics.
As we got to last year with counting national championships. So.
Right, yes.
Which is why you get the, what do they call it, the BS, or what do college football fans call it, especially message board people? Oh, fake. Fake college championship or?
Because the technical term is retroactive titles. Anything before 1936
I mean, even if you were 14-0 and next person was 12-2, mythical. They always call the mythical national
there
champion.
There you go, mythical.
So it doesn't, like, all of them don't count to them.
No.
I'd have USC probably at 3. And, I mean, this is it's a pretty big-time program. And the reason they're there is because they've cashed in a lot, too.
Right.
Now, I also count, I'm one of those weirdos, I count 03 and 04, so both.
Well, and you should.
I know.
Why wouldn't you?
I remember the Fab Five, too. I'm sorry.
Yes.
NCAA.
You need to count, though. They didn't take both those from Pete Carroll, did they?
I thought they may have taken both. They definitely took 04.
Yeah, they did. And then the year before was when they won like an AP national title.
Yeah, 03 may have just been
they just left
the
it
AP
alone.
Because the AP is going to be the media, and they're like, yeah, it happened.
God, what a run they had. My goodness, they were so good.
That's as good a dynasty as we've seen in college football. I think a better overall, I think their best team beats any of the best Alabama teams. Alabama, to me, has been more impressive, almost like the Spurs of just being the best team that year. And the consistency over time.
Right.
But USC in 03 was... Damn good.
I think I'd probably agree with you on that pick. Boy, would I love to see the game. I would love to see.
Oh, yeah, and Bama could. I mean, they're so physical, but that 03 USC team with that defense, or 04, I'm sorry.
04, right.
04 is what I'm thinking.
04.
Forget about it.
I would love to see Nick Saban matching wits with Matt Leinart and that 04, and Reggie Bush, and that group in 04.
When that offensive line could deal with that defensive line.
Right? That would be so much fun to watch. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, it would be a hell of a battle, though.
Definitely a lot of football talk coming. So USC is our number 14 team in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. More on that coming up. Let me tell you about Total Men's Primary Care. I know I'm on you guys all the time about trying to stay healthy, but that's what it's all about. Football season's coming up. You know you're going to be eating some of that food, right? Some of that food that's not so good for you. So go ahead, double check, get into the doctors, get the blood tests done, get your heart checked, make sure everything is good. If you're down in Kyle, remember, they've got the new location for you. 4 doors down from the HEB Plus right there in Kyle. 11 centers around the area to serve you. So go to TotalMens.com. Find the one that's right for you. When's the last time you had your prostate checked? I had my prostate exam this year. If you're like me and you've got some prostate cancer history in your family, maybe something you want to deal with. Obviously, if you have any kind of cancer history in your family, you're going to want to let them know that at Total Men. So again, they see men. They don't see women. They don't see kids. They just want to make sure that us guys are taking care of it. So do it for your family, do it for yourself, do it for your peace of mind. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men.
So Cubbies, man.
Your Cubs are not having a good day.
Big series against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's 3 out, and Jose Quintana just got lit up. Gave up a first batter of the game. Who is that? Lorenzo Cain hit a bomb to left.
Okay.
It's blowing out to left, but either of these would have gone out. Ryan Braun got a breaking ball that he sat on, hit one out, and then hit one out his next at bat. So I'm not sure how long Quintana went, but he
Braun has had 2 homers. You're
oh,
saying?
Two his first 2 at bats, oh, 2 homers.
Wow. Okay. Good day.
Yeah. No. It's been
it's a good start.
It's been a good day. I like this Milwaukee team more than the Cubs. I really do, and I'm fearful as a Cub fan going down the stretch that we're not healthy and we're not playing good baseball.
What's the standing right now? About 2 games
Milwaukee's
difference?
3 games out.
3? Okay.
Well, no, you're correct.
Sorry, 2 after this.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't trying to do the math forward, but I kind of accidentally did. Right before we came on air.
These are the only 2 guys we have that are throwing well. You guys were right. Our only 2 guys that are throwing well right now were Rangers earlier this year. Who would have thunk that looking at their team ERA?
You mean you actually would like to get a... You'd like to get you, you're saying you and...
No, not you, Chavez.
Oh, okay.
Chavez and Hamels.
And Hamels, right, okay.
Chavez, I mean, look, he's been pretty good out of the pen.
Yeah. Joe Maddon got thrown out right before we came on the
air.
That
was an awful call.
That was a bad call.
Milwaukee's winning this game either way, but it gets back to every time I see that, all it does is add one little check to the Trey Elling bandwagon of, man, you can't have that. It was, he may have gotten fooled because it was a breaking ball. Chad, that's way too far outside to call that a strike.
Oh, it was like 81 miles an hour, a breaking ball, and it was, I don't know, 3 inches off?
Way. I mean, yeah, you can't.
Somewhere out there, it was bad.
Zobrist has a, you know, his bat has slowed down with age. His eyes, he still has a pretty good recognition of the strike zone.
Okay, so here's my next idea to try to get people even further inside baseball. We got managers being interviewed during games and all that stuff. We got to figure out a way that occasionally, maybe not every time, but we need to be able to hear exactly what managers and umpires are screaming at each other.
I would sign me up.
Like, can it be a monthly fee we pay to Rob Manfred? Or
HBO?
Yeah, right. Like, what is...
Actually, knowing the way Major League Baseball is going, it'll be on Facebook. So you will be able to see it, Chad.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they'll Facebook...
Major League Baseball is going to get me on Facebook.
He carries a phone out there. But somehow, I would love to hear that occasionally, especially when we get to the playoffs. Like, how bad is it?
Maybe, we do occasionally.
And maybe it would help each of them to curtail their language a little bit.
I don't want that.
I'm just saying a little bit, if they knew the mics were on.
True.
Right? Look, we're going to mic you up, and we might play this, and we might not. That's what I wish we'd had as little kids, like every week when they came on with, this week in baseball.
This week in baseball.
Give me some swearing.
Will Clark cusses out.
Yeah. That's right. I want to see a guy get just absolutely cussed out.
So I was watching, been watching a lot of It's Sunny, trying to catch up. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Which is just as I've always said, a great show. And I watched it a long time ago.
Yeah, I need to get into that show.
And loved it. And like me, like a lot of shows, I support it hardcore. And you go, when was the last time you watched it? I don't know, 3 years. But I love it. It's right. One of my top favorites. I'm just, like movies, I'm saving. I'm saving it for retirement. Okay. I'm going to have all this art, as you guys call it, to go through. Entertainment to go through.
Yes.
That I haven't seen. It's going to be like Christmas every day. So I'm plotting all that there. But I'm watching It's Always Sunny, and they've got one of these episodes. Trey, let me know if you've seen this one. They're trying to chase the Wade Boggs record. I didn't know about this.
What Wade Boggs record?
Okay, so that was my...
All I know...
Start it off, right? Okay. Well,
I know Wade's a hell of a baseball player. He had 3,000
hits. Hitter.
And he ate chicken every day.
Ate chicken every day. They do get into that, but there's a... At least on the show, and so I want to see if there's any rumor to this at all, or... Wives tale, legend, whatever you want to call it, that he drank on a cross-country flight 50 beers, they think around 50 beers, and then tore up the Mariners the next day.
Wow. 50,
I'm guessing that it's Always Sunny, but it's Always Sunny will sometimes use some reality with sports like the Eagles to also create, you know, right, a 22-minute show.
Mm-hmm. 50, like, cans of beer.
Yeah.
While flying across the country.
I mean, baseball players back in the day, of course, I didn't believe it at first. Then I thought, you know what? I'm gonna ask tomorrow. I'm not even going to look it up. I could look it up and probably find out. I'm going to ask, see if any of our listeners know this.
I'd never heard
that. Ever heard that.
That's a good...
It's a funny episode, of course.
It's a great story. Like, if you're Wade Boggs, even if it never happened, you never deny a story like that.
Well, yeah.
His number might have been 10.
Right.
But never, ever deny that you drank 50. Like, that's fantastic legend.
If I saw someone drink 10 beers on a cross-country flight, I would be a little worried but impressed if we're judging it as how much can we put away. That's pretty good.
And if I knew it was Wade Boggs, whatever he consumed, I'm definitely going to watch that next box score.
If you put down a case, you're a legend in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. You drink a 12-er.
If
you drink drink a 12.
I mean, that is.
And you're talking about 24, and the legend is 50?
So I started thinking about, too, some of the other stories we've heard about athletes. I mean, the NBA had to cut this out because guys were getting blitzed and getting Deweys on the way home.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, you don't want that to happen if you're the league.
If you're the league, right.
But in this case, he had a ride. It was a plane, right? I mean, he wasn't flying the plane.
No, he's going to Seattle. He would have been picked up by a bus. Sure. The only thing I would have worried about is the next day.
Yeah.
Apparently, he crushed it.
Apparently, he was great. That's when a sports legend becomes a sports legend to me. Because doing it is one thing. But like the legend of Ken Stabler and all those, Kenny Stabler and the Raiders,
partying all night and still kicking people's ass, that's great sports legend.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders team in New Orleans that was partying while the Eagles had a curfew and they whipped the Eagles, like, that's cool.
Miami, Florida, the fight in the 2000 Sugar Bowl on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Where the Canes apparently, that's what did Steve Spurrier say after the game to one of the Canes? He goes, yep. He goes, you guys kicked our ass off the field and on the field.
Both. You win both fights. Yeah. Or like the Johnny Manziel legend when they went out partying and went to the casinos in Oklahoma.
Yeah, the 10 a.m. game against A&M.
Before the OU bowl game.
Oh, before the OU. That's what I'm saying. The 10 a.m. That was a 10 a.m. Cotton Bowl game, right?
I don't think it was a morning game. I thought it was an evening.
Oh, maybe not. Okay.
I think it was an evening. I think
I'm
it was
so used to the Cotton Bowl being early.
Right. This would have been at Jerry World, and it would have been that night, I think. But, yeah, they go across,
still, though,
party down,
crazy.
And come back, and then whipped Bob Stoops and OU.
They did, too.
And if you don't, then you just get made fun of, and why would you do that, and all that kind of stuff. Hey, Bobby Lane, right?
Bobby Lane's got a couple.
Like five of them?
Yeah.
I mean, the one you always tell about him against A&M in baseball?
Oh, with the ankle and Rooster Andrews had to go get a 12-pack.
Right.
And I think he got 18. And he drank one every half inning and was also icing it down.
Was that the one where at the end he flipped the Aggies off?
Yeah, after a three-hit shutout on one ankle.
Bobby was kind of big time.
Bobby Lane, though, that's a good sports legend. I like that. I had not heard the Wade Boggs story, though. Yeah, there's obviously this time of year, too, a lot of that good TV is coming back. Sunny and It's Always Sunny is about to have their 13th season.
So is that on?
They keep advertising.
I forgot. Is that on FX?
It's either FX
or Comedy Central?
It's an FX or FXX, one of the two.
Okay.
So double check.
But that's where it's originally on, because I've been watching it on Vice, which got it for reruns.
Okay. See, I watch a show on FX, and I maybe FXX now, called You're the Worst. And I think they run into each other. I think they, because I always see the end of a It's Sunny in Philly episode.
Okay.
They're about to go to season 13. I think You're the Worst is coming back for another season. If you're a Better Call Saul fan, that show's back now with your man Bob Odenkirk in a terrific, terrific role. The weird, strange prequel to Breaking Bad. They started on August 6th, so I'm already behind on that. They've run two episodes. I got to get caught up. But
I'm clearing space. You'd be proud.
No.
Let's not. I mean, I'm in my mind.
We don't need to talk
in
numbers.
My mind,
okay.
I haven't executed people.
Oh, I see.
I've got people on death row.
I see.
So don't get into me if you're hardcore right about, hey, you haven't killed anyone yet. I will. I'm about capital punishment.
You're about to get there.
And I'm going to get there. We're getting chambered. We're getting stuff set up, okay?
I have a rule about my DVR and football season that you're not going to like, but coming up, there'll be a day when, if I have any football from last season, it gets erased. If I haven't watched it by the beginning of this season, it's just gone.
Okay. What if A&M would have won the national championship last year?
Well, obviously I'd save that.
Okay.
Obviously I'd save that.
Okay.
Yeah, that one would be saved for a
somewhat
while.
Of a hypothetical.
Yeah, but maybe not as much as you think.
And you could throw that right around. What if Texas would have won the national championship? I would have said, what world am I living in? Bizarre world?
What would that have said about college football if either of those teams had won a national title last year? I would have spoken strangely about this game.
It would have.
Not healthy, maybe?
Not healthy.
Not a healthy sport at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's usually a month after or a couple months after college football.
That's correct. Yes, right. Yeah. That's a different sport there. Which, speaking of, before we hit the break, did you realize they're still pushing this NBA start back even further? I saw a little thing on in a sports bar setting or whatever about the beginning of the NBA season. October 17th, there's a game.
Is that's early, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. You said pushing it back.
I'm sorry, earlier.
Earlier,
it's getting
okay.
Earlier and earlier. Like, yeah. When it's Halloween, it's one thing to me, but now there's going to be at least one game on the 17th?
Oh, they should start the NBA in mid-November, late November, or maybe even just, mid-late November, and then they should start baseball, and they should give baseball a month and a half.
Like May?
I love baseball, and it's great, but you can cut it down a little bit.
Start in May? Maybe they're starting early.
No, not start in May.
Mid-April?
Mid-April.
I feel like they're starting earlier and earlier. I feel like when we were kids, we were starting in April. We were starting like April 4th, 5th, 7th. And now I feel like they're starting March 25th.
I don't know. That's a good... Let's look at that.
Yeah.
By the way, I did look at Severino's innings. We talked about that a lot yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I went through his past. man, this guy's pulled some ass, especially in Dominican. No, not his pass there, his innings passed. And last year was, I want to say he went maybe 40 more innings and he's already gone right now. So he's gone this done this before. It's his second year of really doing it, third in the big league. So I don't know. Something's not right with him, though.
There's no doubt. I got some Severino numbers coming up. That crazy game yesterday, Severino versus DeGrom, ended in the Mets' favors. The Yankees continue to slide. We'll talk Horn Top 20 with USC. Plus, there's an update in the Maryland DJ Durkin story. DJ Durkin is hanging on.
Barely.
But one of his guys has lost his job today. We'll tell you who it was coming up on the Horn. Going to remind you on how you can get in on the tailgate for that first Texas game and do it with one of our guys coming up. But first, what do you got here, Trey?
It's really random today. I have no good rhyme or reason for this one. You, Me at Six is the name of the artist. The song is called I.O.U.
I couldn't find any good musical birthdays today. There wasn't really anything that jumped out. So nothing wrong with a crazy random Tuesday. Speaking of that first game, remember, kick off the 2018 college football season with the official Longhorn tailgate before the Maryland game in Washington, D.C. Join our own Aaron Hogan and the Texas X's on September 1st at the Bud Light Pavilion at FedEx for drinks, music, and more. Visit Horn, the Horn Facebook page, or hornfm.com for more details. Aaron Hogan getting to go to the first game up there at FedEx. That's pretty cool.
That's
going to
be cool. Is he going to bring Wags?
I don't know. Not sure. Wags being the Maryland guy, Baltimore guy.
Wags texted me probably 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, man, we should go take a road trip to that game. Dude,
like drive?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've got stuff to do.
Yeah, there's things to do. I'd love to be able to do that, but
it'd probably be fun.
Yeah, it would.
I've never really spent much time around that area.
I've been there. I went there as a kid. We did a family trip there and did all the, I was with Doc Hastings, so you got to
the monument and
everything. Got to do all the historic stuff, man. We did 1 week of kind of historic stuff around the area. We did it all. I mean, we packed Mount Vernon and Monticello and Williamsburg.
God, you guys must have been exhausted after
that. Oh, my God, it was exhausting. But we saw a lot of cool stuff. I mean,
yeah.
All the monuments, all the memorials, all the stuff that you want, the Smithsonian. Yeah, we hit as much of it as you possibly can.
So you got DC'd out.
I did. I think I saw it all. I don't know that I need to go back. Although they've added some cool things since then. They've added some really interesting. I think the World War II Memorial has gone in since we were there.
That's so funny, and like how our minds work. Because I do like history a lot, so I would go check out a bunch of that stuff. But I'm also thinking, well, DC's food's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, we didn't have time to eat.
You didn't have Jose Andres.
No, we didn't have time to eat it. Yeah,
you didn't have time to eat.
Probably a couple peanut butter crackers.
Boy, this sounds Griswold-esque.
My dad taught me a lot about vacationing, but mainly he taught me how I don't want to vacation when I grow up.
Ah.
Because his idea of a great vacation day and mine are totally different in terms of those places.
You and I are probably more alike to where let's get a little bit of that in, and I think that's cool, but vacation is, there's got to be some downtime.
Correct. And thankfully, my mom was around to balance it out a little bit. My mom was a little more into, hey, maybe we should just chill out today and not do anything. And my dad's like, what do you mean? What do you mean not do anything?
You know there's a pool here.
Yeah, right. He loves to get in the car and go 900 miles in a day. He loves that stuff. All right, so hope you're having a great Tuesday. Let's jump on into the big three because we've got Longhorns transferring, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately. We'll tell you that one here in the big three.
The big three.
And obviously we say maybe fortunately because it might just be the best thing for them. Two Longhorns in the defensive backfield, John Bonney and Eric Cuffey, have announced they're going to transfer. The university hasn't necessarily said anything yet, but it is a modern time, right? Each of them conducted their own press conference on a little thing called Twitter earlier today. Nice statement from each, both being very respectful. Cuffey says he's going to go to Trinity Valley and then end up somewhere else because John Bonney has already graduated. He gets to go wherever he wants and there's no penalty. So
and play right away.
He can play this season as far as I understand it.
I think he could help someone out.
Yeah.
Find the right spot for him. Yeah, I mean, it was going to be tough playing time. I think Cuffey saw more of the writing on the wall. Bonney wants to get playing time this year, and the younger guys have come in, and you already have Caden Stearns running with the ones at safety, and I think he probably understood that you know what? This is going to be a loaded part of the team, and I want to make sure I play my last year. I've got no problem with any of it. I think it probably it can benefit everyone. It does free up a scholarship with Cuffy.
Does it? So for you as a Longhorn fan, this speaks to good news about your defensive backfield.
Yeah, that's what it does. Yep. I was telling Rod that if an offensive lineman transferred, I'd wonder, okay, he either really sucks or he's got a yeah. beef with someone, got an issue. Doesn't mean that we've got a Maryland thing going on, possibly, where it's like, oh, God, what's going on with inside our program? Because there's a lot of guys, and there's going to be some guys that are butthurt about the coaching staff, whether the coaching staff's doing a great job or not. And so the way these guys handled it, you couldn't ask for a better transfer. Now, they're also being classy. Sometimes I've seen kids, you know, say, hey, you know, thanks, I had a good time, and they're a little upset behind the scenes. But I don't get the sense that that's the case here.
Trey, you want to give me your thoughts on this? You're a Longhorn fan as well. Obviously, the young guys at the defensive back position, Texas fans were really excited about it. But I don't think Texas fans maybe thought that ultimately John Bonney was on the way out because of it. What are your thoughts on this?
Eric Cuffy should inspire utter indifference from the Longhorn fan base. Unfortunately, it's just the reality of certain guys who enter the program. And if anything, he was maybe a byproduct of Charlie Strong wanting to grab some of the more valuable guys from that Baylor recruiting class when everything fell apart regarding the Art Briles scandal. John Bonney does sting a little bit, though. He was looked at as a guy who could provide depth at pretty much every position in the secondary. On top of that, guys, I'm not sure if he wasn't the best option at cornerback with Devontae Davis out with a hamstring injury. Think back 2 years ago, the second half of the 2016 season, he was arguably the best cornerback on this team. And an example that these coaches really didn't watch a whole lot of tape from 2016, I think along with a guy like Edwin Freeman, because unfortunately he's just got a little bit lost in the mix, if you will. And I hope nothing but the best for both guys, of course, but especially John Bonney, who is a guy that I look at as someone who can provide valuable minutes for another Power 5 school this year. So best of luck with him.
Yeah, and I think Bonnie's at a point where he was checking out the depth chart even more than a guy like Cuffy was, because this is it. And so it does matter August 14th, kind of where I'm running. I'll give Orlando the benefit of the doubt. I mean, Bonney was valuable at times, but I think that Orlando probably saw that there's going to be some other guys in there that were going to eat that up, and hopefully was honest about that, at least honest enough on the depth chart for Bonney to realize at this time that I can still get out of here and go play somewhere else.
The concern for me is that
I don't want to see him leave, but I'm in a way I'm kind of happy for him.
The concern for me at cornerback specifically is you have two guys who are very young who are looked at as the backups to Devontae Davis and Chris Boyd right now. Both guys, I think, are considered freshmen. I believe Kobe Boyce redshirted last year. Anthony Cook, look, I think the world of him. I think he's going to be a great player here at Texas. But those are two guys without an ounce of experience on the outside. John Bonney provided at least a little bit of that. You know, considering
he wasn't going to start at corner, though, but he can provide help there.
He may very well have been able to start at cornerback with Devontae Davis out with a hamstring injury. You don't know how long that's going to linger for, but if nothing else, I'm a little bit surprised because these coaches tried so hard to string certain guys along to ensure that they had better depth at various positions, including Chris Nelson along that defensive line as well. We see that he's going to be starting in place of Puna Ford, who, of course, is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. I wonder if they maybe did try just a little bit too late to keep John Bonney around. He was already maybe a little bit too checked out after seeing the writing on the wall through the first week or so.
Yeah, and when I thought about it, maybe he could play corner. Maybe Trey's right. If at least slot, so you can move Cook over if we do get in that situation, because he did prove last year. He proved that. We saw a couple guys come in and prove that, including Antoine Davis. They can fill little roles, whether it's a slot corner and you bring them down in this weird safety hybrid slot corner look, mm-hmm. to not only help out against the run. You know, Bonney definitely the second half of last year played well. I'm going to take the optimistic view on this and say that it's because the young guys are playing so well. Do you want to gamble with that many young guys, even if they're really talented? You want to have as many vets as possible.
So that's going on today with Longhorn football, John Bonney and Eric Cuffey transferring. In the Maryland story, DJ Durkin still on administrative leave. So are the trainers, but Maryland is absolutely accepting some responsibility today. Their president, university president Wallace D. Lowe, L-O-H, says today that they, quote, accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes made by its athletic training staff at a workout on May 29th, which ultimately led to the death of Jordan McNair. They have fired their strength and conditioning coach. His name is Rick Court.
So there's not even going to be a trial. This is going to be lawyers getting together and saying, how much do you owe us?
It absolutely sounds like Maryland is saying, Maryland's, they met with the family earlier today. And essentially, I'm guessing they said to them, We think we're responsible. You gave us your child to take care of. We didn't do that. So, yeah, they're going to pay them a lot of money. That's got to be. I mean, they're going to start with whatever the funeral costs, and then they're going to expand a ton after that.
Yeah. Unless he's having a $5 million funeral, they're going to get I don't know how much, but they're going to get a ton out of this, and they deserve it. 19-year-old kid. What Maryland people were trying to, if you want to call them Maryland apologists, or maybe they have a point to some degree, is that they're saying that, well, this was an error on the training staff and the medical staff.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly Court was going to be gone. We knew that. So do they try and throw Court under the bus and the medical people under the bus and not throw Durkin, say, well, Durkin had nothing to do with this? The problem is some of the stories that we hear, whether they're true or not, and the hit piece that what the Atlantic wrote or ESPN is that it's hard to say, okay, well, you don't think the medical staff was feeling some of the heat coming down from the head man?
From their culture that
right,
he
from
created,
this culture yeah. that you created.
Right. As much as we've heard it, we hear Tom Herman talk about his relationship with Yancey McKnight. This is the only coach that's allowed to see these kids in the summertime and interact with them.
Right.
You're telling me strength and conditioning coaches are going rogue all over the country and doing things that their head coach has no clue they're doing?
What Lowe said, he said, some of our policies and protocols do not conform to the best practices. They basically misdiagnosed the situation. No vital signs were taken. For me, that was enough to say, ooh, I need to come and personally apologize.
No vital signs were taken.
Yeah, that's rough, man.
Hell, you know what? I give him credit,
I'd
though.
I'd be surprised if Durkin survives this.
Yeah, to fall on the sword like the president did there and to admit that kind of responsibility,
yeah,
that is big time on Maryland's part, because they know what that means. I mean, this is just you're admitting your responsibility there, and you're going to have to take care of that family in a big time financial way.
It's not going to bring their son back,
but
I'm sure they would say, well, we'd give up the money to have him back, but this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we'll see what happens in the next step of that Maryland story. Also, we were just talking defensive backs in the college level with Texas. How about a defensive back story in the NFL? The Redskins released Orlando Scandrick in the last day or so. A bit of a weird move. They have Josh Norman on one side, and then they just have a bunch of young dudes. But apparently they like those guys better than they like Orlando Scandrick. He just signed up.
It was a money thing?
It was going to be a 2-year deal, but it was only like a $7 million deal, I think, that he signed.
Okay.
And he started like 50 games the last 4 years at corner in the NFL. And they've got guys that are in their fourth year, second year, and three rookies that they kind of like right now. So Jay Gruden rolling the dice that Orlando Scandrick is not what he needs.
Taking a look at who their rookies are. Who do we got here?
So they've got a kid, seventh round pick.
Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah, Dunbar is in his fourth year. Switched from wide receiver, played at Florida.
Yeah, he's a Florida kid. I remember him.
They like him. They have Fabian Moreau, second year UCLA.
Yeah.
They have Greg Stroman, who they took in this year's seventh round out of Virginia Tech.
Okay, Stroman, I don't know.
I didn't know him either. They have a kid named Danny Johnson who played at Southern. He was an undrafted free agent.
Don't know him.
Rookie. They have a kid with a great name, Adonis Alexander, played at Virginia Tech, but they got him in the supplemental draft.
Jeez.
Those are the guys that I get that supposedly I'm reading today they're happy with over Orlando Scandrick. So if you're a Cowboys fan out there, it is another one of those situations where you make a move, you ultimately decide you got to move on from a guy, a division rival tries to make you pay for it, and it doesn't really happen. We see this happen a lot in the NFL.
I feel like Dallas is the second best team in this division.
They might be.
I don't know how close you are to one.
Right. There may be a gap there.
And it sounds like the rehab process is coming along really well for Carson Wentz.
Yes. Yeah, I think
it is. I even heard Peterson was saying, well, I mean, he's going to have to go through 11-on-11 before we clear him for game one.
So he's right there.
He's right. He's going to be.
He didn't play in their first game, right?
No, he didn't play in the first. Or I didn't see him.
I don't think. I'm assuming they're not going to give him much time there. But they've talked about him maybe being able to go for game one. So we got all that going on today. We'll keep you up to date on anything else. Also tonight, football wise, you do have Hard Knocks on tonight. The Cleveland Browns and Hard Knocks episode 2.
Nice.
The Corey Coleman thing. Probably goes down tonight.
That'll happen. Callaway, probably.
Maybe a little Antonio Callaway. Got to have that. Plus, the Cleveland Browns also find their way into the crap bag today. Coming up, wait until you hear what the Cleveland Browns have thought up for their fans to help celebrate their next victory. Also, it is a big day in the Sacramento house, so we'll give them some shout-outs, too. We got a birthday and an anniversary in the Sacramento world today.
Whoa.
So if I don't mention it, I'm not a good friend.
Wedding anniversary?
We'll get that, absolutely. Yeah. Could be the anniversary of when I met Sacramento is coming up. We should celebrate that, too.
Yeah, you're really into anniversaries. I just can't remember them.
Yeah.
I'm fine celebrating them. You just got to remind me.
I think I remember that. I don't know about the exact day. I remember the week it happened, I think.
Okay.
It was late August.
You're becoming less stalkerish the older you get.
Crap back coming right up on the horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, crap bag time on a Tuesday. And first off, let me give a little shout out to the Sacramanos, specifically the youngest Sacramano, the second of the two children. He's 12 today.
Leo, right?
12. That's right. Uncle Leo Sacramano.
Leo Sacramano.
That is the good one. Yes. Shout out to Colin. He's 12 years old. He's not quite started school again. His brother just started in a new high school. Just started high school yesterday.
What?
Yes. Yes. Ugh. The elder Sacramano is now in high school. I know.
What happened? I know it's changed, but it does seem like it continues to creep up. Are we going to start in July at some point?
I know. It's painful. It's absolutely
painful.
For
all you kiddos, Chad and I started school the Monday after Labor Day.
Yes. We would always start in September. And my dad has always told...
Is that a Monday after Labor Day?
It got pushed into...
Monday is Labor Day. That's what I thought. Monday is Labor Day.
We used to start the Tuesday after.
Tuesday, okay.
Yeah.
Did it not get pushed at some point when you and I were in junior high or high school to a little bit earlier in August, but it was still only like a week or two, and then you got Labor Day off?
Yes, it did. I think late middle school for us, so Chad would have been in college then. And no, we're all pretty close. So I think around our time, it would have, you know, for you probably early high school... Yep. Shifted towards late August. Well, I just remember it with two-a-days. So that was my main concern.
That you weren't doing two-a-days right up until...
You wanted to push two-a-days as far as you could.
Yeah. My dad would always say that they did that in the state of Texas because of air conditioning concerns, that it costs so much to air condition the buildings.
What, two-a-days or...
No, waiting until after Labor Day, trying to push it into September.
Gotcha.
That was always his claim there. Maybe over the years they changed some ideas on that.
AC's got better.
Yeah, so shout out to Colin. He's 12 today.
Also, did we get those days back? They always claim that we got those days throughout the year. I didn't feel them.
What days back? What do you mean?
Whenever we started early and we were ending at about the same time, I remember thinking, well, where are these days going? And they claim that we got those days and that they were, you know, we had an allotted snow day here in Austin, which is a couple days, which is ridiculous, although we'll use that when it's 40, so.
I just decided when school was done and I stopped going. I mean, that's the way I did it.
No, what?
That's not what I did. No, they tried to, I think, move those around.
Okay.
Also, Oma and Opa Sacramano, 49 years today, I believe, on the anniversary.
Oh, the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
The reason we have Rick Sacramano.
49 years.
My parents just hit 50, and it's amazing when the couples can get that far.
That's impressive.
Congrats to Oma and Opa for 49 years, I believe.
Seemingly happy?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's an incredibly happy couple. Yeah, I don't know what they would do. I don't know what they do without each other, which is the mark of a good couple, right?
It is a good mark of a good couple.
Sometimes you have a couple.
I know bad couples that think that about each other.
Well, sometimes you have a couple and you think to yourself, could I imagine them apart? And you think, oh, yeah, absolutely. I can imagine him doing his own thing
every day
and her doing her own thing. But no, when it's a great couple, you always imagine them together. So shout out to that family. Also, shout out to the Browns because they've come up with a very bizarre idea that I have to mention. It's I don't know if it's just them, but we'll give the it's kind of the combination. So the Browns and the beer that sponsors the Browns, not my beer, but it's a beer. They have decided
they're not going to mention what beer it
that
is.
They're going to give
it's Bud Light, isn't it?
It is. They're going to give free beer to Browns fans when they win a game, when they next win a game. The last time they won was week 16 of 2016.
And they're setting them up like 10 of these things around a bar.
It's
a fridge that will be unlocked once they win.
That part of it's pretty cool.
It is until we see the scrum to that. I mean, should we have someone handing these out?
Yeah, right. So the rule is you have to be inside these bars. Like you said, 10 bars in Cleveland are going to have these super fridges. They call them victory fridges, and they're all stocked with the beer. And locked.
That's a cute idea.
It is. They're locked up, and then you once you're in the bar and you've been carded and everything, you can't run in after the victory. So once you're in the bar and you've been carded, as soon as the clock goes to zero and they win, then somehow with Wi-Fi connections, they can unlock all the fridges at the same time. So they'll unlock, then you could open them, and then yeah, you said they'll go crazy for the beer.
It's gonna be a melee.
Yeah. Now, my opinion would be that is the perfect beer for a Cleveland Browns victory, but that's a whole nother discussion. That's a whole nother discussion. But yeah, it is a wild little idea, and they are going to do that. So, and just in case you're wondering about freshness, they are going to restock it each month if need be.
I never wonder about it with Bud Light.
They are never going to. They want to make sure that they're not going skunky in case they wait till week 9.
That's okay.
Week 12.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, the fact that they've thought of that.
The fact that they've thought of that with Cleveland being that bad.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so the Wi-Fi will turn off those locks when the clock hits zero. So best of luck to the Cleveland Browns. And again, Hard Knocks, next episode is tonight. Coming up in your next crap bag in the 5 o'clock hour, we got a couple hotties with a birthday. We got to mention that. We've got some good old schools for Kevin. And I was watching a little preseason football and saw some of the rookies. Some rookies at a couple positions that I thought stood out a little bit. So talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
Okay.
We're also talking USC today. They are our number 14 team in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. But more specifically, they are the Longhorns' opponent on September 15th. Biggest question for them, it's even a bigger question really than what's going on with Texas, because we think we know who Texas is going to have at quarterback. And even if we don't, we know who that other guy is, right? Well, the USC fans don't know exactly. We'll talk about the guys up for the job and the guy that's rumored to be the one who will play against Texas, assuming he's healthy, on September 15th. More USC talk coming up, and we'll keep you updated on that Maryland story, if you haven't heard the latest, plus two Longhorn football players decide to transfer today. All that's coming up on the Horn.